Foxton Readers Level 3. Tales of Mystery and Imagination by Edgar Allan Poe. Retold by Jane Richards. Read by James Brown. Copyright Foxton Books, 2022. A Predicament. One beautiful warm afternoon, I decided to go for a walk in the city of Edina. When I arrived in the city, I was surprised to find it busy. There were traffic jams and people everywhere. Children were crying, mothers were shouting, horses were running, and dogs were dancing. Yes, dancing. Oh dear, I thought. My dancing days are over. I remembered the many things I had left behind in my youth. I had been a beautiful and talented young woman. I could sing and play music, and everyone admired my soft skin and bright eyes. But that time had passed. I am a woman of strong emotions, and the memories made me cry. I had two companions with me on my walk. The first was my little dog, a poodle called Diana. She had hair over her one eye and a fashionable blue ribbon round her neck. She was a very small poodle, but she had a large head and a very short tail, so she appeared more intelligent than she was. My other companion was my servant, Pompey. He was short and fat, and his legs were bent. He had curly dark hair, although he was 70 or 80 years old. He had a large mouth, perfect white teeth, big ears, and no neck. He wore simple clothes except for an expensive overcoat that a tall gentleman had given him. He had to hold it out of the dirt with both hands. The third person in our group was me, Signora Psyche Zenobia. I am a beautiful woman, and I was wearing my blood-red dress, decorated with small green birds, and a long orange train with a sky-blue cloak. I leant on Pompey's arm as we walked, and Diana followed at a good distance. I wasn't expecting to see the cathedral in front of us, but suddenly there it was. Ancient, dark, with a tower that reached high up to the sky. I don't know why, but I really wanted to climb the tower. I wanted to look at the city of Edina below me. The door of the cathedral was open, so I entered and found my way to the stairs without damaging my orange train. I continued to lean on Pompey as we started to climb round and round and round. The stairs seemed to have no end, and I started to think someone had removed the top of them. But then I saw the final three steps to the bell room. I left Pompey and Diana, and I took one step, two steps, and then I needed Pompey's help. "Pompey," I called, "give me your arm." "I cannot reach you," he replied. "But you must," I said. He dropped his overcoat, tripped over his feet, and fell headfirst onto my breast. I fell too, and we landed heavily on the floor of the bell tower. "You fool," I shouted, and pulled a handful of hair from his head and threw it over the tower. Pompey looked at me. He was very sad. "I'm sorry, Pompey," I said to him. We looked around for an opening so we could view the city of Edina, but the only one was high up above our heads. There was a lot of clock machinery near the hole, and a length of iron went through it. There was just enough space for my body, and I was determined to see, so I called Pompey. "I wish to see through that hole, Pompey. Put your hand here, so I can climb on it. Now, move here, and I will climb onto your shoulders." I stood on Pompey's shoulders, and I was able to put my head past the clock machinery through the hole. I was so excited to see Edina below me. I could see the city in all directions, but it was actually just a city like any other. So I started to examine the roof of the cathedral and the clock more carefully. After a few minutes, I heard Pompey's voice call from below. "Signora Zenobia, I can't stand it any longer. Please, will you come down?"
"Pompey, I only just got here and I want to look at everything in detail," I said.
"But please, Signora, I cannot carry you any more," he said.
"You fool, Pompey.
I didn't climb up here just to climb straight down again. I haven't seen everything, and you will hold me here as long as I need," I said.
Pompey was quiet. I stayed another half hour looking at the ancient roof and the scene below me. And then I noticed something cold pressing on my neck. What could it be? Pompey was far below me, and there was nothing near me. I turned my head very gently to one side, and I realized that the huge knife-like minute hand of the clock was on my neck. I pulled back straight away, but I was too late. My neck was trapped, and I could not release it. It hurt so much. I pushed the minute hand with all my strength, but I could not release it. It came down and down, closer and closer, and the opening for my head became smaller and smaller. I screamed to Pompey for help, but he said that I had called him a fool twice in one day, and he had had enough. The hand of the clock cut through my skin, and I felt confused. I remembered the days of my youth, the elegant men I had known. The ticking of the clock amused me. Tick tock, tick tock. I thought of the men I had danced with. The hand of the clock was deep in my neck, and then I saw a true horror. The pressure on my head was hard to bear. It was squeezing my eyes until one popped out of my head. It rolled down the roof of the cathedral and landed on the ground below. Having only one eye was extremely uncomfortable, and I was glad when the other eye popped out too. The hand of the clock was now deep in my neck, and I was happy because I knew it would soon be over. At exactly 5:25 in the afternoon, the hand cut off my head, and it rolled over the cathedral roof to the middle of the street. But now, where was the real Signora Zenobia? In my head? Or in my body? I reached for my handkerchief and tried to wipe my nose in the usual way, but, of course, I could not. So I threw my handkerchief to my head below. My head smiled up at me and said, "Goodbye." Now I was not trapped anymore, so I climbed down off Pompey's shoulders. He looked at me. His mouth was fully open, his eyes closed, and he dropped his overcoat and rushed down the stairs. I looked at my one-eyed Diana. "What is wrong with Pompey?" I asked her. But here was another horror. Diana was not herself. She was a ghost. A rat had eaten her and left her bones. My poor little creature. And also, poor me. I had no head, no dog, and no servant. What is left of Signora Zenobia? Nothing. I have gone.